again, everyone, to the Mid-Atlantic Championship Podcast, the podcast that travels back into time to review classic episodes of Jim Crockett Promotions' Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling program as they appear on the WWE Network. I am Mike Sempervivi, joined as always by my co-host Roman Gomez, and this is episode number 17 of the podcast, and in this edition, we will be looking at Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling TV that was taped on Wednesday, April 28th, 1982 at the WPCQ Studios, Channel 36 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and aired in local markets beginning the weekend of Saturday, May 1st, 1982. And if you listen to this show and decide, hey, I want more things that are related to it, you can find them via our social media. We have all kinds of it, but we update Twitter and Facebook the most. Just search at Mid-Atlantic Pod and look for the logo, and that goes not only for Twitter and Facebook, but for all of our social media. And if you want to follow along with us as we review episodes of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, you can do so by signing up for the WWE Network at WWENetwork.com. You can also follow along by way of David Taub's write-ups of the shows as they appear on the network, which are available over at our friends at MidAtlanticGateway.com. If you want to find out more about what was going on in other territories at the time, one great option would be to go to MidSouthPod.com, the Mid-South Wrestling Review Show with the great Brian Last and Mike Mills, who cover This Week in Bill Watts' territory on episode number 20 of their show. And with all of that out of the way, bring in my co-host, Roman Gomez. Roman, how are you today, my friend?
I am doing good. We both get to do something fun. We get to talk about wrestling, and then later on tonight, I get to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. So this is a good day, Mike.
And hopefully I don't hold you on for too long here. In fact, by nature of the show, it's going to go a little bit shorter, and our next one's going to be a little bit longer. And the reason for that is, unfortunately, on the WWE Network, there is no May 8th, 1982 edition, so anything you hear on today's show about what we might see next week, well, we won't be seeing it next week, but we are going to take each situation as it comes, and we will tie up those loose ends for you, but we will get right into what took place on this episode. Show opens up with Bob Caudle and Sandy Scott, who have the NWA World Tag Team Championship belt sparkling right in front of them, Roman, and you know, these were the Nikita Mulkovich-styled championships that not only were used for the NWA World Tag Team Championships, but also for the original WWWF World Heavyweight Championship that Bruno Sammartino and Pedro Morales were very well known for holding. The Sheik's U.S. Championship belt, which was mimicked for the Mid-Atlantic area back in the day, and including at this time, Sergeant Slaughter's holding a version of that title right now, but always very unique-looking titles, and when they turned into the 25th anniversary silver edition of these belts on the black straps that the Rock and Roll Express and Manny Fernandez and Rick Rude held in 1987, they were probably my favorite versions of those titles. I mean, I just thought they were absolutely gorgeous. This version really pops as well, too.
Love the way these belts look. So shiny. You can see them from miles away. They're just very prestigious looking. There's something that if you were a wrestler and you had to carry that belt around, like, you would be proud. It just looks good. It wasn't gaudy. It didn't look stupid. Classic looking championship belts those were.
Speaking of those NWA World Tag Team Championship, the reason that they're being so focused on is because, of course, the whole tournament is beginning to wrap up, and we have had the Eastern Division Championship tournament announced for Charlotte, North Carolina coming up here. And we'll have Sandy Scott discussing that as well as our NWA Western Division Championship winners of Wahoo McDaniel and Don Morocco.
And now we're going into the Eastern Regional Championship, and we have four teams that are in it. And the match, of course, is going to be held in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the four teams are Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, Killer Khan and Angelo Mosca, and the Samoans. Now, there's four teams, and those guys get in there battling for the World Tag Team Championship belt, which it's all about, plus $25,000 goes to the winner.
And I tell you, the time is winding down. We're going to have that very soon, Sandy.
Yes, we are.
All right, Roman, there we hear from Sandy Scott and Bob Caudle opening up the broadcast of the show. mentioning the championships and the championship money that is going to be offered up on the line there. We've got some carpetbaggers in, Killer Khan and Angelo Mosca, who debuted last week. Talked about winning a tournament in Montreal. That's the reason that they're in. The Samoans, whose name has not been invoked since David Crockett was reading out of the Wrestler or Inside Wrestling about possible championship teams that could be entered into the tournament way back in February. And here we see them. Now, do you have any issue? Obviously, with Mosca, there's the connection with the Tunnies in Toronto. And so it makes sense that's why he's there. Killer Khan is a well-known name, just came off the feud with Andre the Giant in 1981. That was all over the place. So certainly a big name and a name that seems to match up well with Mosca. But when it comes to the Samoans, do you feel any sort of way about them being involved in the tournament? Or do you just look at it as, hey, they're a big name that can come down I-95, and it makes sense that that's why they would be in this tournament? Or do you wish somebody else could have come in from the outside, or maybe even from Jim Crockett Promotions that could have filled that void a little bit differently for him?
Well, you know, I didn't really so much have a problem with the Samoans, because when I think of them, I always think of tag team wrestling. You know, they were always notorious for being tag team wrestlers. But Khan and Mosca, even though they had alluded to the fact that they had won a fictitious tournament in Canada, they just seemed like a makeshift team, especially when Mosca had only been in the area for just a handful of days and he's already in the tournament in the finals. You know, I would have liked Steamboat and Youngblood, or, you know, somebody else, or, you know, even Slaughter's Private. Khan and Mosca just did not seem like a good fit to me.
From there, Jack Briscoe comes over to the desk to join Bob for an interview. And last week on the show, a lot of time was spent talking about Roddy Piper's feud with Tommy Rich. There was a situation on Georgia TV that went down where, after a match that Rich had, Roddy attacked him, took off his belt, and started whipping Tommy over and over again. It was a focal point of last week's show. I believe Bob Cottle had mentioned that we were going to be seeing a tape of that on this week's show. Unfortunately, we will not get to see that, and instead we have Bob let us know that we will be seeing it on next week's show. As I mentioned, unfortunately, we don't have next week's show. But what we do have and what we will air next week are going to be the after effects of that whipping. It also obviously is playing into Jack Briscoe's feud with Piper, which Briscoe talks about here and mentions about the fact that he'd like to have a crack at Roddy's Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship. And that brings out the Rowdy One, who has got a little gift for Mr. Briscoe.
Need to get a hold of myself.
All right, and now, wait a minute. Roddy Piper.
No trouble here.
Okay, no
trouble.
Mr. Briscoe. I wanted you to know something. You know, I was going through the airport in Pittsburgh, and I saw all these nice little Indian things, and I thought, well, I was doing something to you, maybe to offend you, and that you didn't like me, and I heard you come out here talking, and I thought that I would buy you a little present here, Mr. Briscoe. But just a second. Now, I'm quite serious here. I was trying to, but then I realized that I wear a kilt, and I'm proud of being a Scotsman, and you never mentioned being, you know, this little something you make on your off time, and you never mentioned nothing about being an Indian, and you don't know wear feathers, and maybe I know you're not a chief or not good enough to be a chief. Don't get me wrong now, but what I'm saying is maybe you're ashamed of what you are, where I stand out here like a man in my kilt, and I didn't want to think that I would really offend you by giving you this wonderful little present, but if you're ashamed of what you are, Mr. Briscoe, I would take it back.
Well, I would think that you were the man that's ashamed of what you are, because you ought to put your title on the line in the ring. Besides what you did to Tommy Rich, that belt lashing you gave him, he's going to give you one. Matter of fact, long time ago, your mom and daddy failed to give you any discipline. And if anybody needs a strapping, it's you, Roddy Piper.
I'll tell you something. Yeah, you see, there he goes. He walks off. Yeah. There he goes walking off. You see, real easy to be a hero. I come out like a nice guy. Real easy. He comes down here, talks all kinds of big stuff, right? So Roddy Piper, being the man that he is, he comes down. I'll tell you what. You want a title match? I will give you a title match right on TV here, right next week. You want a title match, Mr. Briscoe? You're going to learn one thing. It's after you know it all, it's what you learn that counts, Mr. Briscoe. And you're going to learn something about Roddy Piper. You think I would squeeze this up, wouldn't you?
Wait a minute. We've been talking about that.
we've been talking about, you strapping Tommy Rich. Next week, right here, fans, we're going to have a VTR of that. We're going to show it. All of the fans are going to see it.
They are.
Also, we're going to have some comments from Tommy Rich.
Oh, well, it's just going to be such a pleasure, and I hope Tommy Rich by that time will still be able to speak and quit crying. Here you go, Jackie.
All right, fans. So there you hear. Not only will we not hear what goes down with Roddy Piper and Tommy Rich from Atlanta TV, we will miss a match between Jack Briscoe and Roddy Piper. No bueno, Roman. And unfortunately, a missing show for whatever reason out of the network here is really going to deny us something here as this feud between Briscoe and Piper begins to explode.
Yes, that definitely would have been fun to see, and I'll have to go through my archives and see if maybe I've got that match on a Piper compilation or a Briscoe compilation or something. Cause yeah, that would definitely be fun to watch. So let's talk about the kindness of Piper. It's only May and he was playing Kris Kringle and buying Briscoe a gift just cause he saw something he thought he might like when he was at the Pittsburgh airport.
Yeah. And I don't know. Now it seemed even cheaper if you can imagine something being cheaper than a airport gift store item. I believe it was a little paper mache teepee. Was trying to be benevolent and gift it to Jack, who obviously seemed a little bit resistant to it.
Yeah, very unappreciative on the part of Jack Briscoe there.
Oh, always like that. Those it's just something about those guys from Oklahoma. I don't know what it is there, but we'll get back to the action or really get to the action here as we go to our first match. The referee of the day, Sonny Fargo, out there in his blues, and the first match, Big Bill White, Pretty Boy Carl Fergie, against our Western Division champions of Wahoo McDaniel and Don Morocco. Really a showcase match for Wahoo and Don to pound on Fergie and Bill White, two perfect guys to do that with. Morocco gets the victory in about 5.5 minutes by delivering his tombstone pile driver on Fergie for the victory. Any thoughts on this match, Roman, that was really just pretty much Wahoo and Morocco on offense?
Yeah, you nailed it. It was a showcase for Wahoo and Morocco, and just kind of unusual combination to end it. Morocco with a drop kick and then a pile driver. All my years of watching wrestling, I don't ever think I've seen a guy deliver a drop kick, then followed up with a pile driver. I just thought that was a little different.
Really, if a match could set up an interview, that's kind of what this was doing here, is these guys jump out of the ring, and what Bob wants to talk about is what a lot of people were talking about if they had seen Worldwide Wrestling already for that week, and that was Wahoo going on Worldwide and knocking off our United States champion, Sergeant Slaughter. And we have two separate parts of this interview here because they play such a large portion of the match. So what we're going to hear is going to be the beginning of the interview with Wahoo Morocco and then have that float into the match and what would ultimately take place during it.
Fan Chief Wahoo McDaniel, Don Morocco, and we've got a tape, as we said earlier, of a match.
Excuse me a minute. Chief, I know everybody's been... There's been a lot of talking, a lot of snickering, a lot of stuff going on behind everybody's back. I hear Mosca and the Andersons and everybody else talking about, they know my past record, my past reputation of being, stretching the rules and doing whatever I have to do to win. Wahoo McDaniels came to me as a man. I have never gone back on my word. If I didn't think that we had every chance in the world for the World Tag Team Championship, I would not be backing up this man. I would not have given him my word as to the fact that I wanted to be his partner. I may be a little nuts, I may be a little goofy, but this man is one of the finest wrestlers in professional wrestling today. If you want to take a look at this tape, anytime somebody's going to jump on his back or be around, I'm going to be there because I have my eyes on this belt.
All right, and Wahoo, this is a tape of a match earlier between you and Sergeant Slaughter, the U.S. champ.
That's right. This man crossed that top, the iron turnbuckle right there. And Slaughter is really stepping in. All right. Hey, oh,
hey, hit the man, go!
beat him.
All right, kind of cut Wahoo out of the equation there with him talking about his match that he had there with Slaughter. But Roman, as you heard, Johnny Weaver and David Crockett out there losing their voices, describing the action that was taking place in the ring. Don Morocco, you heard him make his pledge of unity and loyalty to Wahoo in the interview. He showed it during the match as he fought off Private Nelson, who had jumped up on the ring apron, as well as Don Kernoodle, who tried to pull Slaughter out of the ring, fought off both of those guys, which allowed Wahoo McDaniel to ultimately get the victory over Slaughter in this non-title match. And what did you think about how this whole thing played out and how the whole thing was laid out?
What an amazing amount of action took place in just a short period of time. They only showed about 3 minutes of this, as this was joined in progress. And a tired old cliche that you used to always hear when I was growing up watching wrestling, it would be somebody like the Brooklyn Brawler versus SD Jones, and you would always hear, this could be a main event in any arena in the country. Well, this could have been a main event in any arena in the country. Slaughter and Wahoo were two legends, and a lot got done in this match. You know, there was three times where Slaughter tried to put Wahoo in the Cobra Clutch unsuccessfully. There was a point where Private Jim Nelson hopped on the ring apron and Morocco knocked him off the apron and came to Wahoo's defense. Kernoodle tried to get involved. This match showed Wahoo, they keep harping on the how loyal he is. Well, he actually proved it here by coming to Wahoo's aid. And I just thought this match had a lot of excitement. This 3 minutes here was better than some of the 15-minute matches we see today. They crammed a lot into a short period of time that they showed, and it made me want to see the whole match. This was a very good match to watch.
It really, really was. And, you know, Morocco's promo is very interesting as well, too, before it, where, you know, as he pledges that unity and loyalty to Wahoo, he does mention that, you know, if he didn't think that he and Wahoo could win the NWA World Tag Team Championship, he wouldn't be there. That's what he's there for. That's what he's about. He was approached by Wahoo. But right there, even though in one breath he talks about loyalty, in the other breath, you know, he seems to indicate that this is as much about business to him as well, too, wanting to become a champion and wanting to put his past behind him because he gave his word. And you know, again, we'll have to see how things play out. And of course, we know with the, you know, the 30 years we've had since then, 40 years almost that we've had since then, how things play out here. But they're going to continue to unfold on TV here over the next couple of weeks. What unfolds next for us on this episode of the show is a promo with Ron Ritchie and Keith Larson. And you really miss nothing here, Roman, although Keith Larson still unfamiliar to Bob during this interview.
Yes, after Cottle interviews Richie, he turns to Keith Larson and says, Tony, what about it? I thought that was funny that Bob didn't know who he was talking to.
Maybe that's why a little bit later on it gets pointed out that Bob was forgetting maybe somebody else's name as well, too, but one name Bob definitely knows, especially if Roddy Piper is doing commentary next to him, is the name of Terry Taylor, who is joining Bob right before his match with Don Kernoodle. And as we talked about here over the last couple of weeks, one of the highlights of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling at this time has been the feud between Terry Taylor and Sergeant Slaughter's Privates, most specifically Don Kernoodle. And Terry Taylor and Don Kernoodle's interactions have been fantastic. They have caused their teams to have their matches thrown out over the last couple of weeks. And finally, we get a one-on-one battle. And as Terry tells Bob Cottle, he's ready to go.
Fans, Terry Taylor right here. Terry, for several weeks now, you and Don Kernoodle, it has really been happening week after week after week. You've got 10 minutes now to get in that ring and settle it right here with Don Kernoodle.
Well, I'll tell you, I've never looked forward to a match more than this one. A chance on TV for me and Kernoodle to settle this thing once and for all. I tell you, he's been trained by this guy Slaughter, and Slaughter got beat already, as everybody's seen. Well, I tell you, I'm going to try to take care of this just like Chief did with Slaughter. I'm going to do the best I can. I'll tell you, I don't know if I'm going to win or not, but I'm going to give it 100%. And if that Nelson, I'll tell you, I don't have to worry about him jumping in because it's a single match. If he wants any of me when I'm done here, I'll be more than happy to give him a chance too.
All right, good luck to you, Terry Taylor. And fans, as we say, this is going to be a great match, so let's go right up to the ring now for the action. And it was Terry Taylor jumping up right into the ring for his match with Don Kernoodle, and this was another good one for as long as it went, and it went 6 minutes. And man, Roman, it's nice to actually have a wrestling match that opens up with actual wrestling moves, and it's one of the things that I really miss in today's wrestling. You'll see it on the indies a lot more than you'll see it when it comes to WWE, and certainly not with AEW with the style of guys that they have there, but the actual amateur moves. And I'm a big amateur wrestling fan, so that's one of the reasons I really enjoy it. But it's one of those lost arts of professional wrestling, one of those things that's forgotten about, that, hey, this came from actual grappling here. And to see Kernoodle and Taylor try to get positioned on each other, and to have Kernoodle trying to ride Taylor and grab control of him, and to have Taylor sit out and have Kernoodle go flying outside of the ring, is one of those dumb little spots that I always love. I always love seeing that. Ric Flair would do it a lot as well, too. It was always so great. Like I said, it goes only about 6 minutes. Unfortunately, we don't get a finish, but we at least get an exciting end with the two of them brawling. What did you think about this match?
I thought it was a good match, and it was also interesting that Taylor said he's going to give 100%. And spoiler alert, that might make a little sense, a little more sense later on in the podcast about 100%. But this was a good contest, you know, back and forth. Crowd was into it. There's one point where the announcer said that Taylor ended up with a bloody nose, and they don't really zoom in on it. I don't know if that was done intentional not to show it, but if he had a bloody nose and they zoomed in on it, that would have shown, you know, the physicality of the contest. And even when the contest was over, they were still going at it. And a lot of energy, a lot of aggression. I liked it. I really liked the intensity these two had.
Oh, yeah, it was super fun. At the end of the match, Kernoodle was choking Terry Taylor against the top rope, and Sonny Fargo's trying to pull him away to break it up, and he gets thrown over into the corner. He doesn't get thrown down, but he gets shoved just enough to be, you know, pushed into the corner, and Kernoodle and Taylor are going at it. You know, Fargo comes back over trying to break him up, and, you know, they start, you know, hitting punches, and now they're trading punches on their knees, and now they're rolling around, and, you know, they do the midget spot, the women's wrestling spot, where, you know, they go rolling over the referee, and, you know, unlike the midget spot or the women's spot, it's not as fun for the referee, and you got two large guys rolling over you, beating the hell out of each other. And Sonny Fargo just, you know, used that as his time to throw the match out. And initially it was announced as a no contest. Bob ends up amending that later on, calling it a double disqualification. But they continue to brawl, as Roman mentioned, after the bell. Finally, Kernoodle eats a couple of right hands that finally send him packing and out of there. And the most unfortunate part about this match ending is that, looking at the results coming up over the next couple of weeks, unfortunately for us, this is also where the feud is going to be ending, because even though the Kernoodle and Taylor would meet each other in tag team matches on the house show circuit, it looks like our time with this feud has wrapped up on Mid-Atlantic TV, which is a darn shame, because we've had four matches that now have included Taylor and Kernoodle, and we're not going to get a definitive winner, but man, I have really enjoyed this.
Oh, I definitely could have gone for seeing more of those two tangle. The brief little time you see them together, I mean, they do seem like they have good chemistry and they work well together.
Before we move on to our set of interviews that we have here coming up, even though today's show is focusing a lot on the NWA World Tag Team Championship Tournament, I don't know if you've caught this or not, but there was another contest that was also mentioned.
Danny, this young man received a tremendous amount of votes as the outstanding young man for 1981. And actually the wrestler that contributed the most to wrestling in the area in 1981, when he wasn't here much of the year. So this young man, when he came in, Terry Taylor, really made a tremendous impact on the fans everywhere.
Now, I know the phrase was not coined way back in 1982, so it's impossible that they were doing this in name, but they had to be doing it in spirit. I mean, this was trolling, right? They were trolling us by mentioning the who contributed the most in 1981 voting. And on top of that, including Terry Taylor's name.
It's just so amazing to me how they keep mentioning a guy that can't win the contest. And, you know, this time, Piper's not even around. Normally, they would mention Taylor to kind of get a rise out of Piper. Piper's not around. They're still talking about Taylor, how good he is, but he can't win the contest. Well, you know, I mean, first of all, it's May. Things should be over with. Second of all, why don't you tell us who could win it then? They spend so much time telling us that Taylor can't win it. And before that, they would tell us that Blackjack Mulligan Jr. couldn't win it, even though he was in the area. So why, I don't know, why would you not hype people up that could win it instead of those that can't win it?
Yeah, and forget about who could win it. Just give it to somebody and let them win it. This contest is still technically continuing on, I guess, in spirit. Has not been dropped, at least when Terry Taylor is around. And once the smoke finally cleared between Taylor and Don Krunoodle, it was time for Sergeant Slaughter to mosey on into the studio to kick off our superfecta of interviews. Well, it's not exactly a superfecta, although there are four men there, but at least three of them were pretty super. We'll let you decide.
Sergeant Slaughter, Sergeant, all of the fans saw it. They saw right here. They saw Wahoo McDaniel beat you.
Yeah, they saw Wahoo McDaniels and Don Marajno beat me. Wahoo McDaniels himself could not beat me. He had the help of Don Marajno. And that suits me fine because Marajno, you're going to pay. You're going to pay for everything that's happened because I know that Wahoo McDaniels could not beat me by himself. I know you had to come out there and help. And for every embarrassment that has caused me, in the record book it says Wahoo McDaniels beat Sergeant Slaughter. Well, Don Morocco, you're going to pay for everything that's happened.
Ole Anderson, Ole, that tag team tournament, the four big teams left in the East.
Well, there's only one thing that's important, that's money, and of course those belts mean money. We got $25,000 when Henson and I come out on top. And then we're going to get those World Tag Team title belts. And that's going to mean several hundred thousand dollars more during the course of the year. And I know that the people are running right now who in the world it's going to be. Well, when you look at Hanson and Anderson, I don't think there can be anybody else.
It doesn't matter. An opinion's only the state of mind. We've already won $25,000 in Montreal, Canada. You think we're here for our health. Whether it be you, the Samoans, Briscoes, or anybody, Killer Khan, the clandestine figure that he is, thinks like me and acts like me, and we'll see.
Hey, get your best hold. Do the best you can. We're walking out with everything.
All right, fans. Only Roddy Piper right here. Roddy, yeah, and I mentioned earlier, next week.
I'm going to put my prestigious belt right there, the Mid-Atlantic heavyweight. Tommy Rich, a country boy. Yeah. Country boy, that's just another word to me for someone who didn't go through the inconvenience of getting an education, you see. Me, I did. So what I did is I took him and I strapped him. And I strapped him, I strapped him, I strapped him, I strapped him again. And down he went. And down he cried. You see, you're going to find out something, Tommy Rich. You're going to find out how can something that tastes so good be so bad. Come on, Mr. Briscoe.
Mosca coming in to interrupt Ole Anderson. Those of you that are fans of our podcast have heard me mention on numerous times how I enjoy Ole's promos. I enjoy his in-ring work and everything. And here Ole, one of the best promo guys in the business, is out here, and he gets interrupted by Mosca, one of the worst promo guys. That should not happen. And I did enjoy Piper when he was talking about Tommy Rich. He said he's a country boy. It means he doesn't have to go through the inconvenience of getting an education. I just thought that was hilarious.
I love that, and I plan on stealing that too. Yeah, that was the only redeeming value of the Mosca interaction with Ole was Killer Khan standing there as a cartoon character. That was at least a good visual. But yeah, Roddy Piper saving the day, coming in, talking to Bob, rocking that bright yellow shirt with the Black Panther iron on, which looked very fresh, by the way. And then the old English writing on the back, too much rod. Did you ever walk around? Did you ever rock the iron on shirt? Like, you know, because I remember that, like, you know, in the Kix box, you know, you'd be able to, I don't know who ate Kix as a kid, but like, you know, they'd have that come out and they had the cowboy one or whatever it was. But were you a fan of the iron ons?
I never had one. The only thing I ever remember being ironed on was like our little league patches that we had to have on our jersey, or, you know, but I never had a, never had an iron-on shirt as growing up as a kid. That's I guess I'm missing out.
Get back to the show here. Roddy Piper not only cutting interviews, but then immediately got in the ring to face off against Keith Larson. Went about 3 minutes and 22 seconds. Typical manic Roddy Piper offense. Whenever Keith Larson would fight back, he'd get a couple shots in on Piper, who really wouldn't sell him, and then he'd just go, you know, and start, you know, throwing forearms and punches and eye gouges and kicks and just that crazy Roddy Piper style. But our Mid-Atlantic heavyweight champion gets the victory with a sleeper hold. This was basically so Bob and Sandy could talk a little bit about the four remaining teams that were in the NWA Tag Team Title Tournament. But were you able to glean many more out of this match than I was?
No, you nailed it. You know, Piper was manic. He was aggressive, loud, you know, yelling at the ref and everything. It was just Piper showing Keith Larson who's the boss.
Now, Keith Larson's real name, or at least I believe his government name, would be Wally Carnoodle. And he was Keith Larson here. Except to Bob earlier on, he was also Tony. The pretty boy Carl Fergie didn't forget about that when it came time for he, Bill White, and Jim Dalton to step in for interviews that who knows who has gotten to hear these interviews. We collectively as a group, everybody with the WWE Network or anybody who had a chance to see these shows when they aired on WWE Classics /24/7, I'm not sure who had a chance to see these because this is where the local promos would be airing for everybody in the area back in the day. But for some of us, I guess, we were blessed with a entertaining group of interviews from a set of guys you wouldn't really expect it from.
All right, fans, and with us right now back at ringside, Pretty Boy Fergie, Bill White right here, and Dalton. How you fellas?
That's right, it's Pretty Boy Fergie. I thought for a minute there you
forgot my name or something. I can see it right across
That's
there.
That's right. I had to put it on my shirt because I thought you'd forgotten my name. Every week at TV, all I hear about is guys like Jake the Snake Roberts and his knee lift, Jay Youngblood, and that vicious chop he has. Will you shut up and let me talk over there for just a minute?
You can add some more names to that, like That's Wahoo
right.
McDaniel and Don Morocco.
Well, I'm going to get around to that. I never hear you say one thing about the Pretty Boy and this haymaker that he brought with him from Memphis TV. That's Memphis, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I was on Memphis TV, too. I must have knocked out 10 men alone with it, including Wahoo McDaniels. But now I see he's dragging himself back here. Got some partner named Dumb Morocco.
That's right.
Who uses a move that I call nothing but a simple pile driver, and I'm going to the NWA about it, and we'll see about this Dumb Morocco.
What about that pile driver?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, the vicious pile driver, you know, I've got immune to about everything. Nothing hurts me anymore. I just go in there and give it. You know, a lot of people say, well, I go in there, I give it 110%. There ain't no way in the world, brother, that you can give 110%. All you've got is 100. You can forget that 110, that 120. I go in there, I give it 100%. I'm not like the rest of them say I give 110. I give 100%. That's all I can give. And if that ain't good enough, brother, when I get done in that ring, I'll come back and try again.
Bill White, come in here, Bill. What about Don Morocco? What about Wahoo McDaniel, Bill?
Well, Bob, you know, Don Morocco's been around this area now, and I've fought him before. I fought him in Florida. I fought the Indian many, many times, as you know, right here on this station. And I'll tell you, these guys are pretty tough. These guys are downright get in there, and they'll give you everything that you've got, and you had better be there to take it. Because if you ain't got it to take it, you ain't going to make it.
You can just add them to the list like with the Briscoes and all the other great wrestlers that are here, Bill.
No, these guys can get dirty, and they can get dirty right with you. But you got to remember one thing. You can get dirty just right back with them.
All right, fans, and that's the story right here ringside.
Well, that was certainly a couple of stories from ringside there with Pretty Boy Carl Fergie, Jim Dalton, and Bill White in that order. Oh, where to begin with any of this? Jim Dalton, apparently immune to the coronavirus. He is immune to everything at this point. Jim Dalton, who would probably then fare very well in Baltimore, from what I recall about being immune to things there. But again, that would be a digression, and we shouldn't be doing that on this episode of the show. Jim Dalton, not a fan of any of your new math either. I'm not sure he comes down on Common Core, but he is not giving more than 100%. I don't care what you say.
Well, evidently he had a big influence on Terry Taylor, because Terry Taylor said he was going to give 100%. He wasn't going to give 110. So maybe Dalton's been coaching Terry Taylor behind the scenes.
So one thing I love about Dalton, too, is, you know, he's going to give that 100%. And damn it, if he doesn't do it, he's going to come back. Which I don't know if that's the most intimidating thing I could hear. I mean, got to be appreciative of the stick-to-itiveness of Mr. Dalton. But, you know, him just saying he's going to come back. I mean, I'm assuming that when he teamed with Don Fargo way back in the day as the Daltons, I would assume it was Don that probably had carried the promos in that time. You know, when it comes to Bill White's, you know, I don't know if I understood what he was trying to say a few times, but obviously in translation, some things kind of got mixed up there. But, you know, I can understand that, you know, if you can't take it, then you can't make it, because if you're trying to make it, you got to be able to take it. And you can't take it if you just can't make it. So I think that's where he was at.
I think Confucius said it the exact same way.
Yeah, when it comes to Pretty Boy Carl Fergie, the one, you know, obviously he can control the room better than all of those gentlemen. And I'm getting very upset that we are seeing getting towards the end of Carl Fergie's run in Mid-Atlantic. He would be gone from here very soon. I got to try to seek out more of Carl in Memphis, since most I know of Carl Fergie in my youth was him as the referee down for Bill Watts in the Mid-South and in UWF when he went down there. Move right towards Jack Briscoe joining Bob, and I won't play anything from his interview, since really he's just speaking over VTRs. The first one is the Briscoes against Mike Miller and Steve Seibert, and the second one is Ole Anderson and Hansen against Tony Anthony, Mike George, and Roman. Any thoughts on any of the matches here? We've already actually seen these matches and reviewed them on this show, including most recently Tony Anthony almost getting killed by Stan Hansen.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's something that's worth watching again. One of the most vicious clotheslines you'll see.
Yeah, we then end up flowing out of this and right into the ring for our next match, where it's Angelo Mosca and Killer Khan against Ron Ritchie and Tony Anthony. This goes about 2 minutes before Ole Anderson comes down to the ring. It goes about 3 minutes more. It feels like it goes about 15 minutes more, but about 5 minutes and 20 seconds, Angelo Mosca gets the victory. A weird sequence to end the match. Mosca delivered an over-the-knee backbreaker to Tony Anthony. He rose and rolls him over on his belly. He tags Killer Khan in, who bounces off the far ropes and then the near ropes and delivers a big knee drop to Anthony. Rolls him over for the pinning position. Gets a two count. Pulls him up by his hair. Tags Mosca, who comes in. Makes sure Anthony's on his feet. And then punches him in the side of the head to get the pin. Very wonky finish. Any more thoughts on Angelo Mosca, or have you reached your quota with King Kong for the day?
Well, when Ole came out, I was really hoping he was going to get into the action. You know, Mosca interrupted Ole's promo. So when Ole came out, I was like, gosh, I hope he gets in there and just goes to town on Mosca. And no, he just stood there at ringside and watched, which did not make the match any better than at all involved. It would have been a lot better, more excitement, that's for sure.
So that was the end of that match, and we've basically reached the end of the show, as we get two interviews to put a bow on this show from Jack Briscoe and Don Morocco. Jack speaking about Roddy Piper, obviously, and Don Morocco speaking about Sergeant Slaughter, and then the NWA Tag Team Tournament.
Jack Briscoe right here. And Jack, I tell you, we just saw that Killer Khan and that King Kong Mosca in there. They're also one of the four teams in that tag team tournament.
Well, they're an impressive team, no doubt about it. And Jerry and I are going to have our work cut out for us. But as far as what Roddy Piper is concerned, coming out here trying to embarrass me.
Yeah.
You know, saying I'm not proud to be an Indian and pulling out this paper teepee. Well, I'm telling you, Mr. Piper, you better be ready for me, because you got my feathers up now and I'm coming after you.
All right. Don Morocco, Don, I tell you, I noticed you saw it too. This King Kong Mosca, this Killer Khan. You and your partner, Wahoo McDaniel, you're the Western winners in this tag team tournament. You're going to meet the Eastern winner, and I tell you, that's going to be something.
Well, we're waiting. Nobody's laughing anymore. Nobody's making any more jokes. They saw me in the Indian. They know me in the Indian. They know I'm sticking by the Indian. It's not funny. We're waiting. Those belts right there is what we want. That's what I'm here for. I'll come and go as I please. But the world championship is number one.
Don, you got to think about those teams that are in there. You got to think about Mosca and his partner, Khan. Mosca, you got to think about, Khan, what about brothers. What about Ole Anderson, Stan Hansen, the Briscoe brothers, the Samoans?
All four, any four of the teams can come out on top. It makes no difference. The Briscoe brothers are the most scientific. The Samoans are giants. They're maulers. Stan Hansen and Ole Anderson are sadistic maulers. You just saw Killer Khan and Angelo Mosca, King Kong Mosca. Of all those men, there's tonnage of weight there. And the Indian and I are waiting. The Indian and I are waiting. We're patiently. We're in shape. And nobody's taking us lightly anymore. Nobody's waiting for anybody to double-cross the Indian. I'm going to be there.
Hey, I tell you, you and the Indian both are sort of wild men in that ring. I think you two sort of fit together in there, Don. Is that the way you feel about it?
Well, we pay the price. We work out. So when we get in the ring, we have fun. That's what it's all about, is having fun in the ring, having fun at being a professional wrestler. And if you pay the price, if you spend the time in the gym, you spend the time in the match, when the time comes, when you knock heads in there, you're ready for it. You can get down and go.
All right, fans.
There you hear the Magnificent One get the final word on Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling for this week. A little bit of a meandering ending there for the show with Morocco, but the point remaining, he's there to team with Wahoo McDaniel, and he's there to get those NWA World Tag Team Championship belts. And as we've reached the end of this episode, Roman, do you have any final thoughts on anything you saw on the show, or any thoughts kind of leading into next week where, unfortunately, we have that void before we get to the 15th?
Yeah, just thinking about how deep their roster was and who was not on this show. You know, there was no Jake, no Ivan, no Hansen, no Valiant, no Steamboat, no Youngblood. I mean, Mid-Atlantic really had a loaded roster, and this was a good show. But without a doubt, to me, the highlight was the Slaughter Wahoo. All the action they crammed in there in 3 minutes was just incredible what they showed. And it makes you want to go out and see the whole match. And I thought that was just incredible. The crowd, everything that happened, and a lot going on in 3 minutes. And definitely worth checking out.
We'll get into the results right now. We begin on Friday, April 30th in Charleston, South Carolina. Jake Roberts and Terry Taylor, who was subbing for Don Morocco, defeated Private Nelson and Private Canoodle. Also that night in Knoxville, Tennessee at Chillowee Park, Johnny Weaver defeated Roddy Piper by DQ, Jimmy Valiant defeated Ivan Koloff by DQ, and Jay Youngblood defeated the Ninja in an Indian strap match. On Saturday, May 1st in Selby, Roddy Piper, Wahoo McDaniel, Jack Briscoe. Saturday, May 1st, there was a show in Shelby, North Carolina, although we don't have any results available. On Sunday in Asheville, on the 2nd, Wahoo McDaniel defeated Roddy Piper. Jimmy Valiant and Paul Jones defeated Ivan Koloff in the Ninja by DQ. Also on Sunday in Roanoke, Ric Flair and Jake Roberts defeated Angelo Mosca and Gene Anderson. The big one in Greensboro on Sunday saw Jack Briscoe defeat Gene Anderson. Don Morocco defeated Carl Fergie. Ivan Koloff in the Ninja defeated Jimmy Valiant and Ron Ritchie. Wahoo McDaniel once again defeated Sergeant Slaughter, but did not win the U.S. title. And world champion Ric Flair was in town again and knocked off Angelo Mosca by disqualification. On Monday, the 3rd in Greenville, South Carolina, Mosca defeated Porkchop Cash, Sergeant Slaughter defeated Don Morocco, and world champion Ric Flair went to a no contest with Wahoo McDaniel. On Tuesday, the 4th in Raleigh, Ric Flair went to another no contest with Wahoo. Also that night in Columbia, South Carolina, Ivan Koloff and the Ninja defeated Jimmy Valiant and Jake Roberts, while Jack Briscoe defeated Gene Anderson. And that takes us around to Wednesday, May 5th, the tapings at the WPCQ TV studios that we will not get to see on Saturday, May 8th, 1982. Well, we could see it then, but we won't be seeing it now. As we mentioned, it is not on the network, so we will be skipping ahead to the Saturday, May 15th show, and when we get to that show, I will go ahead and give you the results of what we took place that we know of on the TV for that week on Mid-Atlantic Television, as well as the results that would follow that lead into the tapings that take place on the 12th. So that's where we will go ahead and end things for this week's edition of the program. Once again, as I mentioned earlier on, if you like this show and want more things related to it, you can find them via all of our social media. We have all of it, but we update Twitter and Facebook the most. Just search Mid-Atlantic Pod and look for the logo. Please support all of the shows here in the extended 605 family of podcasts. We don't condescend, and we are dedicated to preserving and accurately archiving wrestling history. And I'm happy that this podcast, executive produced by me for the Arcadian Vanguard Podcast Network, can be a part of that. For Roman Gomez, I'm Mike Sempervivi. Take us out of here, Uncle Bob.
And that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.